And it is good! Right down the middle! Perfect snap, perfect hold, and never a doubt from Carnero. Kirby Smart won all the close ones in the regular season.
Carnero was really good for them, their field goal kicker. Mike, what'd you think?
What'd you think of Sean McDonough?
Well, I mean, he just got the award for best broadcaster.
He did.
I mean, I will give him credit. I mean, part of my problems I have with Gus, you can't do the whole game like this. And that's what Gus Johnson does. And McDonough keeps the moments that are big, and he makes them big. You know, he keeps, oh, the George is struggling right now. You really feel the moment. He's right. I mean, like, the voice, I'll never get past the voice, but he's really, in a generation where the talent, I think, is not really what it used to be in announcing, Sean really does a good job. He sets the stage. He can do all sports, baseball, hockey. He used to do hoops in college back in the day.
I did.
I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I did too. And congratulations on the award. He's been nominated before, but
well, thank you.
He wins that award. Dogs lose last night. I want you to hear Kirby before I criticize him. Look, again, you had a 21-12 lead at halftime. Okay, these games always come down to second half. Remember how Georgia outplayed Ole Miss at home in the fourth quarter? How good Gunner was? What they did defensively against Chambliss and that Ole Miss offense? Earlier in the season, that didn't happen because they made the necessary adjustments this time around. Here's Kirby talking about the game itself.
It's an incredible college football game. It's what the CFP was built for, to have battles like that. And that was basically every conference game we had this year. I felt like every game was like that one, back, forth, plays being made all over. And a lot of credit goes to Ole Miss. The defensive improvements they made, they played much better and tougher and more physical on defense, created some problems for us, and their quarterback is just incredible. I mean, he does an unbelievable job of not giving up sacks and making plays with his legs, and they made, you know, more plays than we did. And I got to be honest, that's part of football. They made more and out-executed us, out-coached us, out-played us, but I enjoyed that game and that atmosphere. I am proud of our team. I'm sick that we lost, and there's things I would love to go back and do differently, but I'm just so proud of the way our guys competed when down 10 and just didn't finish it.
So go back and change things. You go forward on 4th and 2 at your own 33-yard line, and I'm at home going, no! Kirby, just kick the ball. What are we doing now? Being aggressive is one thing, but the problem was, guys, there was no flow to this offense. You were struggling to make those plays. So an aggressive call turned into a disaster because Gunnar Stockton, you know, he fumbles on the play. The play was doomed before it even started, and now Kirby has said since the ball was not supposed to be snapped.
But that's – and you and I said, look, I'm not – you guy hit me up the text. Are you calling Kirby a liar? Well, okay, I think he's lying. I'll say it. You want me to say it? I'll say it. I think he's stretching the truth a little bit. Carl and I said it would be like, you know, the scene in A Few Good Men. I run my unit how I run my unit. Jack Nicholson's character.
That's right.
The colonel. MP guards the colonel. He knew every aspect. Colonel Jessup knew everything that was going on at Gitmo. Kirby knows every aspect. How did that happen? How does that get communicated that the ball's then snapped? It doesn't make any sense. You know, yeah, you can do some boneheaded things, you know, like the legendary Justin Fields fake punt, all the stupid things, you know, there's some things that happen, but this one is like, wait a minute, you're beyond that. You're established. You are Nick Saban now. So that one didn't make sense. I also hated the fact, and the excuse was they didn't want to give up points before the halftime, but with a minute 43 and a bunch of timeouts to burn and Gunnar Stockton, who's beat the Volunteers, who's beat Texas, who's come back to beat Bama in convincing fashion, let the man cook. To me, that was some chicken blank, really weak sauce to not try to exploit that and to go into a shell before halftime and it came back to bite you.
So that play happens, right? You botch that play on your own 33-yard line. They only need to go 23 yards, two plays. They take a 34-24.
And Trinidad Chambliss, as you said, we were talking earlier, Carl, he's on a heater.
He is,
this
man.
Guy was talking about in the zone.
He definitely is. I mean, there was a point in last night's game, I think he had 9 or 10 completions in a row. I mean, he was on one. So the Bulldogs come back and respond, guys. We're talking about the Sugar Bowl last night. Dogs lose with an opportunity to go to the semifinal game. But they score a touchdown on the next drive, and then you force a 3-and-out. Georgia gets the ball back to tie the game. You're like, okay, we're here. But then fast forward, and these are the moments. So Kirby and company face, there's a minute and 4 left in the game. Ole Miss out of timeouts. Georgia facing a 3rd-and-goal from Ole Miss's 6-yard line. You throw for the win rather than running the football to possibly milk more time off the clock. They have no timeouts. Stockton's pass to Oscar Delp, incomplete. Stopping the clock with 59 seconds. Now, some of you are going to say, well, that didn't matter because it went down to the end. Mike, the last 6 seconds were even crazy, but these are the moments where you go, clock management. We always talk about this. Run the ball. They have no timeouts. Let that thing run down as far as you possibly can.
Right. We're going to talk to Mike Griffith about this coming up. I'm sure he's got some strong opinions from Dog Nation. That'll be later in the show. But, yeah, it's just Gunnar Stockton made some plays. He took incredible hits. I mean, he took
punishment.
The Taj Chambers hit, and what obviously had Dog fans, and I was talking to Dog fans last night on social media, you know, Ja'Cory Thomas gets ejected for the hit on Caden Lee, and they call that targeting, and he leads with his shoulder because it's not the friggin' Matrix. The receiver ducks down. There's got to be some context to this penalty. You got to grade it. Make it a 15-yarder, but don't eject the kid and then he miss. It doesn't matter now, the first half of the next game. There is no game this year.
No.
But Gunnar Stockton's hit, how can you not say that's defenseless? Taj Chambers rocks him into tomorrow, and he's thoroughly defenseless. There's no call on that, but it's all about leading with the crown of the helmet. Or in this case, I thought the Big Ten officials missed a bunch of calls. They missed an egregious holding penalty on Ole Miss. That's when Kirby was running down the sideline on the running touchdown. And then they missed a face mask on Georgia. So Big Ten officials were not good last night, but it didn't matter because Trinidad was just better. I mean, look, this kid was making plays all over the place. Trinidad Chambliss looked like, I said to Carl, reminded me of Mike Vick in the second half against Florida State in that Sugar Bowl in 99.
Yeah, I lost money on that. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about the Dogs. You guys can chime in, 404-726-0929.
But I don't buy the excuse. How does that happen in Kirby Smart's Georgia Bulldog team in 2025?
I don't either. Here was the direct quote. He said, yeah, we screwed that up a little bit. This is Kirby. He said, we had a misfire there. It was a changeup from the look we had done twice. And we knew teams were going to sit back and not honor us because we had not snapped it on those plays in two different locations, two different times. So he's saying if they had watched the tape, Ole Miss, they knew if we lined up in this formation that we weren't going to snap it. And he says, and the ball was not supposed to be snapped in that situation. That's on us, the coaches. That's what Kirby said about going forward on 4th and 2 from Georgia's own 33-yard line. The reason I'm complaining about running the clock down, just understand that it would have given the ball back to Ole Miss with about 20 seconds remaining. Instead of the 56 seconds remaining, which allowed Chambliss, or Chambliss, should I say, to have plenty of time to march them down for the game-winning field goal. Follow me?
Right.
Run the clock down as much as you can. And Kirby, in his defense, said, look, we wanted to score a touchdown. We were going for the win. So I think we're on the 3 or 4, wanted to score a touchdown. We want to get the win. Book says go win the game. He's talking about that little card that they go by, okay?
Right.
And then he says, we talked about it in between, meaning the time that we had. We thought by calling a timeout, run it. They don't have any timeouts. Ease the clock down. Playing for a tie, you do that. If you're playing for a tie, this is his explanation. He says, but we weren't. We were going for the win. Either way, you left plenty of time on the clock for them to go down and score. That's coaching to me.
Right. And we talked about, you know, Mike Bobo. We said he did a fantastic job this year. I think you look at Zach Branch the way you look at Ja'Marr Chase. I know he's in the slot, and he may or may not come back. I think he could probably use a little more polish, but the guy is so athletic. Give him if he's got eight touches, give him 15.
He's a dude.
I mean, you've got to find a way. And I was talking to Randy Mack during the game last night. I'm like, you're telling me even the pressure is so intense they can't find a way to give him the ball? I mean, I'm not talking those bubble screens. I'm talking slants, other ways, reverses. All, you know, there's got to be some ways to get your playmakers the ball. The other thing we talked about, Golden goes off on his defense before the half. And, you know, good old-fashioned defensive coordinator losing his mind, now head coach. They got adjustments. They gave up the edge was given up. No, they didn't give up the edge, Carl, in the second half. And then they were seeing things like the design draw plays where Gunner's going to fake it and then draw. That was going nowhere. And I thought Bobo went to that about four times, at least too many in the second half. I just, and the tight ends, you know, it's something that Greg McElroy wrote up on the broadcast. They tried to get it to Lucky there, but they forgot about the tight ends for half the game.
All right, so let me ask you this. Because, you know, again, hindsight's 20/20. I still think Kirby Smart's the best coach in college football. We're talking about specifics in this game.
This just wasn't his best work.
It wasn't. Pete outcoached him last night, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
You got outcoached by a guy head coaching in his second game. A guy, think about this long and hard. You got Joe Judge as part of the brain trust on Ole Miss.
Oh, he is.
I mean, the worst coach in the history of the Giants, and that's saying something. So, I mean, and that's why It's so hard right now. I don't know anybody aside from Georgia fans that are in their bag right now that's not pulling for Ole Miss. And this Plucky story and Charlie Weiss Jr., he's in Baton Rouge today because you got to get all your portal guys transferred into LSU. They got to get ready. The game is in less than a week. Thursday, they play Miami. I don't know how Ole Miss pulls off another win like this with the coaching staff in flux the way it is. It's crazy.
No Bama, no Dogs, no Ohio State. New blood. And a lot of people around the country are digging it. Some are not. But when we talk about surprises and the NCAA tournament, this is it. You just got it with Indiana. That's your Cinderella, right? Oregon's never won it. And now you're talking about, you know, a Miami team that hadn't been there in 20 years. Again, this is anybody's ball game at this point. And Mike's right. Like, I can't – even though they may be the fourth team as far as the odds are concerned, or maybe it is Ole Miss, Mike, considering where they're at. I can't count Miami out. Like, they just keep finding a way, and we're going to see what happens. That's going to be the Fiesta Bowl. And then if Miami advances, understand, they're playing the national championship in their home stadium. If that was to happen. It's Dukes and Bell. Gunner last night, 18 to 31, 204 yards, a touchdown. He did have two rushing touchdowns last night. But as we mentioned, Ole Miss's quarterback threw for 362.
Again, you mentioned it, Ferris State, where he wins the Division II championship. Love the kid. Love the energy and the attitude afterwards here in the interview. It was just, man, you wish you could see this kid play again on this, you know, this kind of stage. I think he's further down the road. Who was the kid that left Florida? Anthony Richardson, who went to Indianapolis.
That's right.
This kid's further down the road, I think, than him. But he needs a little polish. He went for an extra year. The NCAA said no. So I'd be curious to see where he goes in the NFL draft.
Mike, what do we have coming up in God Talk? Because we got Steve Coonan coming up at 4:40.
Yes, you mentioned, referenced the Alabama beatdown. How bad? Historically bad. You got to go back to Mike DeBose bad. We'll give you the history on that. And pretty cool. Some good things that happened, like the flyover of the B2. You had to wait for that during the Rose Bowl. Remember those commercials it's running right now with the Liberty Mutual where the emu parachutes into the stadium and they miss the stadium? Kind of happened today, the bowl game. I'll explain. That's on the way. It's a Dukes and Bell Guy Talk coming up next. Happy New Year. Very New Year, as Carl said to start the program. That was on yesterday. Trading Places, also a Christmas movie.
It is.
Technically.
Great Christmas movie.
Hope everybody had a great New Year. And as we said, everybody's there. I don't know what your body clock, you're a little wacky, a little jacked up. You forget what day it is. Today is Friday. Saturday and then Sunday, as we say.
When they brought you in here and booked you, you was crying like a...
You know what I'm saying? Karate Man bruised on the inside. You would know that. Your big Barry White looking mother. Anyway, sorry. That was Trading Places. One of the things that happens, and I got an early jump on it today. I was telling Carl before the show. Let me just make this a quick public service announcement, and we'll get into Guy Talk.
All right.
There's nothing wrong, no matter how out of shape you are, or whatever your issues are, whether it's genetics or you're just a lazy blank and you're trying to get yourself in shape and that's the resolution. If you're at the gym and you don't know how to use a piece of equipment, ask somebody.
Okay.
Because, Day-Day, how many times you see it? It's New Year's. And by this time next week, I'll come into my gym, and there'll be these little paper signs taped. This piece needs to be repaired. Because people don't know what they're doing. You know the tricep push-down machine?
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about, Day-Day? It's like a preacher curl where you press down. I got a guy, and he's I don't know how you get any tension on it. He's pulling up on this thing. And he's stretching it, and the chain is coming. And finally, I'm watching this, and I'm like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? So I walk over to the guys. You know what the hell it is? Because I like the machine, and I know this jack leg's going to break it. So I look. I go, hey, man, because he takes a sip of water. He had earbuds in. I kind of wave at him. He looks funny at me. I go, hey, man, that's tricep pushdown. I go, that machine's pushdown. He's like, what? I go, it's pushdown. I go, the way you're using it, the mechanism's not meant to go that far. You're going the wrong way with it. He goes, are you staring blankly at me? Right,
he's like, still not getting it.
English is his first language because you know I did hear him speak it earlier. But I'm like, and he's just staring at me. I go, no, I'm just saying it's. I'm like, you know what the hell with it? I literally turn. Guy's blankly staring at me. So look, we want to see folks get in shape. Lord knows we could all lose some more weight. But look, if you see, and I say, if you see something, say something. But some people call you just can't reach.
No, you can't. But you did the right thing.
So
though.
You know,
you
like,
did the right thing.
I like doing like the flies with the cables because I'm old and I'm not going to be like bench pressing like 60-pound weights. My shoulder's going to fall apart. But that's like that's the first thing to go. Somebody will be doing something with that Day-Day, and then it's gonna. You'll see one hand will be on the floor. The sign. I know this is coming, Carl. So all you folks, well, we appreciate your effort. If you don't know, ask. Is that fair?
It's very fair. And also, I'll add this, especially for all you you know, first time, want to get back in. Mm. Don't do the videos. You don't have to video every single rep.
Thank you.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Just let the results just boom, pop out.
Yeah.
Boom. Oh, my God. What happened to you? I haven't seen you in a month.
Right.
You look great.
Right. Because no one's going to notice 2 days' work of work. Right.
Well, here's the other thing. Because if you fall.
Oh, man, I got to post, bro.
No, no, but here's the thing.
Come on.
If you fall off. Right?
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, hey, I thought you'd been working out, you know?
Right.
Why the picture stopped, dude? Why the video stopped?
I've been sick, bro.
My calf, man. Hurt my calf doing something.
I've been sick.
Right. So, again, I mean, I appreciate folks not taking the shot and everything because that messes you up. There's so many, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but there's a lot of stuff that'll happen to you. And there's nothing in this world that doesn't have an action reaction. But I'm talking about Ozempic. But for guys, just get your butt in the gym and do the best you can, man.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Take one before. And one after
when you're done.
In about 3 months.
While we're on the subject of selfies, how many times have you and I walked out of this building? And we got all these amazing restaurants, and it's an entertainment district with a great theater. We work at Colony Square for folks who are new to the show. And you and I walk out, and they'll be invariably, it could be a teenager, it could be a 20-something, doing the selfie. We're like right in the middle of everybody. I mean, with the dramatic look of the, or you know what I'm talking about? Or we have some artwork by the escalators in front of the art. And I'm like, they all got that Kardashian face. You know that
sort of duck lips.
The duck lip thing where you're not smiling. Mm-hmm. I blame the Kardashians. We got an entire generation of people who don't know how to smile.
Yeah.
But anyway, there you go. But just so if how about this? I resolve to say something to you now if you are going to be doing. See, that's the thing. I shouldn't say something. Like what are you, a Kardashian? Smile.
Well,
you can't say that. Somebody would call the cops and they'll mace you.
All these trendy restaurant spots now have a picture area.
Okay. Yes, you're right.
And if
when you walk in, like you're on the red carpet.
Correct. So when you walk in, you can snap your photo and put it on Insta and you're good to go. And I think that's just where we are now. If you're going to be a hot and trendy spot, Mike, that's you got to have you got to have an area where they can take pictures and look where we were tonight.
Everybody makes that face.
Yes, they do.
Hey, man, bowl games. There is a bowl game going on. I think it's just wrapped up. Texas State and Rice. This is the it's in Fort Worth. And it is the Armed Forces Bowl.
Okay.
And apparently they have some Armed Forces veterans that do a parachute thing. It's called the All-Veteran Group Parachuting Team. So it could be all branches. It could be Navy. It could be Army. But apparently, you know, maybe it might be time to just, you know, pick up golf as a hobby. One of our proud veterans apparently missed the landing spot. You see the video?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is he hurt?
It's kind of like the Limu Emu commercial where it's like, there's the stadium, Emu. And boom, and he hits the side of like an RV. luckily, nobody was hurt, according to the Houston Chronicle. But the jumpers, I guess some crosswinds weren't anticipated. Most of the guys landed on the field, but this guy kind of landed behind the uprights, and it looks like he got hung up on the wire for the net behind the goalpost. And then eventually, boom, dropped into like the fans who kind of tried to catch him.
Catch him, yeah.
But according to the paper, nobody was hurt. But it looks awkward.
Okay, I'll check
kind
it
of
out.
Kind of, dare I say, I don't want to be disrespectful to a former veteran, because once you're a veteran, you're always a veteran. But it's kind of a Wile E. Coyote type scenario.
All right, I'll have to check it out. As long as nobody was seriously hurt.
Correct.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, what does Florida State and Indiana have in common?
What does Florida State and Indiana have in common?
The only teams that scored 31-plus points on Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That is something.
Yeah, man. About a lot of folks now getting to finding out what's Kirk Cignetti all about, his ties with Nick Saban, what his job was there, and his reptilian-like eye movements. Cignetti is – now, here's a question I'll ask you. Is this now, as they say in wrestling, a work? Like John Gruden used to make faces. Is Cignetti now self-aware that he now does this – even more. You think, or is this just how he is?
No, look, yesterday, did you see any of the post game of the Rose Bowl? If you saw a little bit of this, you get a sense, Mike, he's well aware, right? I mean, like the comment where, you know, what would somebody say about this turnaround? He's like, hell of a movie. He's got all the right slogans and things he's saying now. And I think he knows everybody's watching his every little step, every little thing he's saying. And a lot of this is intentional. Everything he's doing now is intentional. It used to be, man, he's just a guy, you know, just a hard-nosed coach. No, he's aware. And, Mike, he is getting as much attention as anybody right now. And by the way, I guess Indiana's glad they locked him up, right? All that money.
Well, listen to this. Because he won, and this is unbelievable, because he won the bowl game,
yeah,
and now he's getting advancing to the semis by winning the Rose Bowl. He's got a clause now where whatever happens this offseason, and again, all the hirings happen, and I think he's already good there, but he's got it's got to be guaranteed that he is the top three in payroll. If anybody had jumped him, which I don't think happened, but that was an interesting little trigger. Isn't that wild?
That is.
In the contract. So it's like, okay, something that, you know, you say, really, that's the deal? Yeah, I want to make sure I get it right. By making the CFP semifinal, Cignetti is owed a good faith market review of his $11.6 million deal. If Indiana doesn't offer a top three salary, he could leave without a buyout.
That's a nice out. That's a nice out.
How about them apples,
well,
right?
Yes, because here's the deal. If he wins a national championship, right? And,
right.
Mike, you know, let's just say that if he wanted out, I don't know what that looks like, but I think he's making over $10 million now. I want to say he's making over $10 million. That's a nice little out there for him.
Right. In case you're wondering, this is arguably the worst Alabama loss since Mike DeBose lost to Houston Nutt, got ran by about 30 points to Arkansas back in 1998.
Yep.
So, again, making history, and I would imagine with Alabama, I've seen some of the stuff on the social media, it's the love-hate thing with Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, but you got embarrassed yesterday. And here's the thing.
How about that fourth down he pulled?
Here's the thing that's bothering Alabama fans. Y'all can admit it. You don't respect Indiana. You never have. You thought it was a joke. You thought you were going to step in the stadium yesterday in one of the best settings in college football, the Rose Bowl, and beat the hell out of them. And it didn't happen, and you got humiliated. With all the tradition, Mike, all the resources,
right,
all the NIL, you guys have more than Indiana, and you just got beat down. It's bugging the hell out of you.
Right.
That's the issue.
And the thing is, the only positive of the transfer portal and name, image, likeness, and this is the only positive, is if you can win at Indiana, Georgia Tech can win a national championship.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? If
yes.
you can do this at Indiana, you can do it anywhere. Cignetti came in and they said, look, you got to give us some resources. It was all basketball. That's the history. You know, but you got to have that will, that mindset. And, you know, we've got what? How many Division One? It was 100, 125, 130. You know, if you don't have it, eventually it will get pared down to just the 50 we've talked about.
The two things, though, Mike, you have to have, and this is the other part of it. One, you got to have a quarterback. He got that, right? But he got it through the transfer portal, which tells you, again, Tech or anybody else that says, my team can't win a national championship, you got to go get the right quarterback. Then the other thing he did was the money that was spent wisely. All of those guys that they have and the team that he's put together, it's like Lane's team, Mike. I mean, look, Old Miss, say what you want. Lane constructed that team. I don't know if anybody thought they were national title contenders, but we knew they'd be really good. I think those things, it's how you construct that team, but you got to have a quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you go back and look. I mean, who even knew who his quarterback was?
Nobody.
Ferris State, right?
Nobody.
But, and that goes back. And the thing is, Lane Kiffin had been working in the transfer portal. But, again, you can't be your core. You build your base through recruiting. But think of some of the big wide receivers he's put in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot of skill position guys. I mean, Jackson Dart's probably the best advertisement, just like Kirby with all his guys going to the pros. But Trinidad Chambliss, remember, he was a backup. The starter gets hurt, and this guy becomes a rock star. Speaking of Lane, we talked about it earlier for guys who missed it. Half the staff, because a lot of the staff is not with Coach Golding, has gone with Lane to Baton Rouge, is in Baton Rouge because of the transfer portal requirements. Working all the guys from your position group, whether it's wide receivers, running backs, whoever, and that means Charlie Weiss, his OC, is not in Oxford getting ready for a game that plays next Thursday, which is nuts. And a lot of people are saying Lane is strong-arming these guys because now it's kind of like, wow, if I win at Ole Miss without you, does it make Lane Kiffin look like a bigger turd?
No, I think it makes Lane look like he knows what the hell he's doing. Again, remember, this is still his team. You're winning with the team he built.
Right.
You're winning with his decision to go with this quarterback. I think it makes Lane look, if I'm LSU, I'm going, well, he did it there.
Right.
He can definitely do it here.
According to one of his linebackers, and again, Xavion Harris says, he's been trying to steal our shine because if you didn't see, Lane Kiffin really wanted to get on the broadcast, and they said, no, we're not going to do it. He's been trying to steal our shine. All of our coaches could leave now. We'd still operate as a close team. We are our own team. Coaches can only do so much. Later on, Harris, the linebacker, said, I heard Kiffin was trying to get on TV. We're not worried about Kiffin. Kiffin, gone.
Okay. All right. Well, look, at the end of the day, they're right. They got 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Or two more games potentially to prove to the rest of the world that this is their moment.
I got a trivia question. We don't really do like sports trivia stuff on the show because you know when you, how many times have you been, especially when you run into like an older listener or an older somebody finds out you do sports talk radio. I got a trivia question.
Happens
for you.
All the time,
and I'm like, oh god, you know, because 9 times out of 10 we're gonna get it.
Yeah,
it might be something obscure, but anyway, this one is arguably one of the great trivia questions. There's a meme out there, and the video is all the NFL coaches are being asked this question. Have you seen it, Day-Day? It's gold. It's which current NFL coach currently has more yards in his career than Bo Jackson?
What current NFL
coach? Current NFL coach has more rushing yards than Bo Jackson? Now, Bo Jackson had a star-crossed career, obviously ran out of his own hip.
Yes, he did.
Playing for the Raiders. Never had more than 10 games any season because he would finish up with the Royals. But what NFL current NFL coach has more rushing yards in the NFL than Bo Jackson? And the reaction is priceless as all these coaches are asked, and they're thinking about, oh, wait, who's in the NFL? Wait a minute, Aaron Glenn played defense. And they're going around. Give up? Jim Harbaugh.
Has more rushing
Jim
yards?
Jim Harbaugh rushed for more yards than Bo Jackson because Jim Harbaugh played 14 years.
Longer.
All those years with the Colts, all those years that he ran all around and is added up, and he actually out-totals Bo Jackson. Isn't that the craziest damn thing you ever heard? By 2,787 yards to 2,782. He beats Bo by 5 yards rushing. Jim Harbaugh has more rushing yards than Bo Jackson.
No, it's hard to believe.
John Harbaugh didn't know that, own brother.
No, I wouldn't have known that either.
Hey, man. That's Guy Talk, man. We got the Falcons coming up, but next we're going to talk to Puffy K.
Yes, we are, and lots of rumors swirling around in regards to what the Hawks need to do. They're in New York City. Yeah, they take on the Knicks starting at 7 with the pregame, tips at 7:30. We'll find out what Steve Kuhnen has to say about all these rumors next. We had lost 7 in a row. Then we snapped that against the T-Wolves. Steve Kuhnen, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you doing?
Happy New Year. I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
We're good.
Why are you working today? Is it part of like some kind of early release program?
Georgia played last night.
We got the reaction of Georgia, obviously, and there's these rumors running amok about how your locker room is in dissension and Hawks may trade Trey.
There's all sorts of trouble.
There's trouble at Hawksland. We had to come on, Steven, get the message out to the listeners.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to say bull, and then there'll be another word that follows that in everybody's imagination. But good job. That was well done. That was extremely well done.
Yeah, look, we had to come in. We were both very excited to see what the Dogs are going to do last night. We got a great game, Steve. They come up short, but we got a great game.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard what happened at halftime.
What happened at halftime?
Kirby was kidnapped by voodoo priests in New Orleans. They trotted out a lookalike who decided to go for it without telling the center and the quarterback what the call was. And unfortunately, it absolutely melted down the game for us.
It did.
Voodoo is tough to fight.
Yeah, that was a tough call. We've been talking about it. We're going to get more into that coming up here. Let's talk about our Hawks because the 7-game losing streak had not just me. I think it had a lot of Hawks fans concerned. Like, what the hey is going on? I know we haven't been completely healthy. How did you see that stretch of games for us? And then, obviously, the win the other night was big to get you know back in the win column. And then tonight we got the Knicks.
I don't think maybe everybody appreciates how valuable Porzingis was going to be in our plan. You saw it when he came back. We beat a very good Minnesota team by 30. We were out-rebounded and out-muscled in every one of those games. Fact. Unfortunately, we, you know, when we start, who's been playing phenomenally, he's 6'8 against some of these 7-foot guys. It's going to be a tough night for us. And there were several of them back to back, but I'm very optimistic that Kristoff will stay in the lineup, play a bunch, and we will get back to where I think we can be.
So our man Steve Kuhnen, guys, he's the CEO of the Hawks. For guys who are new to the show, Anssi Salleh is the GM, but Steve gives us his takes on the Hawks. But we have fun with him sometimes. He can't answer all of our questions. But I would say, Steve, you know, with all the stuff that's floating around there, the low-hanging fruit that, you know, folks are just throwing out there about Trey aside, I wonder, is Quinn Snyder doing the best job he can do? Because I wonder about Rhys Shea and the minutes and how the defensive rotations work. And you've got to make Trey, when he does come back and is 100%, function in this half court. I put the onus on Quinn Snyder. What's the level of pressure from the front office on him?
I don't think we see it quite the way that you do. But you're entitled to your opinion because this is America and it's a great country.
All right. I mean, we do need
to. You think I'm going to take that bait? Well, 12 years we've been doing this,
but
guys.
But do you think that Quinn could do a better job?
Well, I think we all could do a better job, yes.
Okay.
I think every single one of us can.
True that.
Starting with me.
All right, Steve. That's interesting because I know there are a lot of rumors in regards to Trey. I'm curious to know if you see him.
Can we talk about where rumors come from?
No. Where do they come from?
There was an incident this week where a owner told a reporter, trying to create havoc in our locker room and trying to pry somebody away to create a trade market. And a lot of times, a lot of this stuff comes in trying to create a trade market. And what I just told you is 1,000% fact. When you try to create a trade market where there's not necessarily interest in your players, right, some people of poor ethics will go after other teams' players to try to create that kind of dissension and problems in their locker room.
Fair.
And unfortunately, that does happen quite a bit as we get closer to the February 5th trade deadline.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's true.
They use the media
as the tool to get it out there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No. Yeah.
I mean, we absolutely know who did it. We know the reporter. We know why they did it. And it's hard to refute those things because those kind of rumors fly like wildfire across the internet. And we're all sports fans and we love that stuff. Love that stuff. But when you sit in my chair, you say, you know, it's kind of like the old saying, you know, when did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
You know, there's no answer to it.
Right.
So, you know, I'll try to deflect and defend, but at the end of the day, you're going to hear more and more of it. Get used to it. Don't overreact. 2 weeks ago, there was a large international player who might play in a state with a lot of cheese who was destined to be on the next flight here.
Right.
Yeah, you know, remember those?
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's great entertainment, and it's one of the many things that makes sports incredible. But, you know, till you hear it with a Hawks press release, it's hard to believe it. And it's certainly, like I said, from our position, very hard to defend that stuff.
All right. There are other reports, and I say this because I want to get your thoughts on because we haven't heard from Tony Ressler that the owner loves Trae Young. And that's why a lot of people say he's not going anywhere. I don't know if people know or fans know what their relationship is with the star of the team and the owner. I mean, we've had these conversations, Steve, over the last few years where we thought other people were getting involved. Other people were involved in the decision making. There are rumors out there about the fact that our owner loves him.
Our owner loves every single one of the guys who play for our team. Our owner sits and spends time and has meals with every one of the players. Our owner helps them understand, you know, the world of finance and making significant money. But our owner does not get involved in personnel decisions. Does not. And that's why you hire guys like Ansi and his team, and you pay millions and millions of dollars for their point of view. And, you know, Tony just doesn't do that. That's just garbage, candidly.
Right.
It truly is.
Is he unhappy? I mean, he's got to be a little dissatisfied because we were throwing the bouquets because Ansi Sally did all the right moves.
It hasn't been fun.
I mean, but, you know, I'm just curious. And by the way, if you could pass the word, we'd love to talk to Tony. We haven't talked to him in a minute because Ansi Sally was getting bouquets, and rightly so, for making some of the best moves in the offseason. And here we sit in the 10th seat.
Well, again, you've got people who are projecting, prognosticating, but yet the season's not over, Mike. And, you know, at the end of the year, if we're there, we deserve the whipping that you're going to give us. And we absolutely deserve it. But last time I checked, there's 48 more games to go.
True that. It's a sprint. No, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
It's a marathon.
No, it is not a sprint.
It's a marathon. Well, I mean, obviously, Steve.
It is an ultra marathon.
Well, we missed the sprint of the in-season tournament.
We did not want to be or think we'd be in 10th. We didn't think we'd lose seven games in a row.
Right.
But I will say the injuries are really, really, they matter in this league. Usually the healthiest teams have the best record, especially when you have a lot of talent, when you have key contributors. You know, we've missed Trey for 26 games. I assume it's public. He's not out. He's not playing tonight.
As we talk to Steve Koonin, guys, Hawk CEO here, day after January 1st, obviously, and we mentioned the Dogs played yesterday. We'll talk more about that. Falcons play on Sunday, their last home game in the last game of the season for the Falcons. We'll get into that coming up with our Falcon Report. Steve, what about these gambling changes by the NBA? I don't know how much of that has already been implemented, and is it going to work in – You know, I don't even want to say stop because that's the wrong word. We know that's not going to happen. But does it deter guys or at least what the NBA is hoping to do with the new rules with the gambling?
I don't know how any NBA player or executive could gamble on the sport they play in and put everything we're so privileged and lucky to be a part of at risk. I truly can't understand that. I can't understand it in baseball, you know, where there's alleged the same things with, you know, fixing and, you know, throwing a pitch into the dirt and all those kind of things. I'm hopeful that some of these prop bets get smaller limits. So they, you know, can't, if it does happen, it really can't amount to some of the things, you know, seven figures being won on balls thrown in the dirt, tied into parlays and all kinds of stuff. So I hope so. But again, if somebody's got bad moral fiber and bad intent, they're probably going to do bad things.
Right.
We have lots of rules, but we also have prisons that are filled with people who didn't follow the rules.
Right.
So I just don't understand why you would put a, you know, a career in as a professional athlete by betting on the sport where, guys, you go to the restroom, it's over every urinal. Mm-hmm. It's on every hallway, posters everywhere about no betting, no tipping, you know, that you can't do these things. So to say they didn't know is just unconscionable.
Right. Steve Koonin is with us, guys. Hawks CEO. We mentioned at the start of the conversation. He's also a proud Georgia alum. We're still scratching our head over some of the things in that game. Kirby owned it, said they got out-coached. But what was your take as a Georgia fan? It just, as Carl brought up, it seemed like you never had any kind of, like, I don't know, sequence where the offense didn't look like it was really struggling and plotting.
You know, it's funny. I really thought the voodoo thing might be real because it was just nuts. I mean, what were we, 75-0 going into the third quarter with a lead, 53-0 at halftime. We had a 9-point lead. We had that team on their heels. And then I unfortunately think part of it was some of the decisions and the execution that came down. And then you have to give credit to Chambliss. I mean, he was incredible.
Right.
You know, and so was Gunner. I mean, I think both those guys are probably pretty sore today. I'm in disbelief at how good Indiana looks and how quick that coach turned things around. That's stunning to me. Stunning. But, you know, I mean, I love that the Dogs are relevant, that they're in it every year, that we get football in January. Just wish it was a little longer season for us.
Yeah, the good news is, and again, it's in the moment, but Georgia is one of the younger teams. Kirby talked about their youth this year a lot, and I think they're going to be right back in this mix next year. There's no debating that, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's something to look forward to with Gunner coming back and all the promising players they're going to have. Steve, we got to run, man. Good luck tonight, by the way, at New York. Hawks on the road. They play at Toronto and then at Toronto again on Monday before coming back home to take on New Orleans, I think, on the
7th. New Orleans, which is a huge game because we control their draft pick. So come on down and help us create big home court advantage, because I'm hoping in a few months we'll be sitting here high-fiving over the first pick in the draft.
It'll be unbelievable.
Right. I mean, again, right now the Pacers are number one. I mean, there's lots of room to lose, Carl, if you're a Pelican.
Steve, have a great
week. Remember the top four top four losing teams' odds are all the same.
That's right. Right. That's right. They don't
change. And by the way, would you please go up to New York this year? We want to see Puffy K up there, man, for that Pelicans pick.
Okay. I'm happy to go to New York. You have my word. Unfortunately, the draft is and the ping pongs are in Chicago. But yes, I will go to New York.
Wherever they hold it, I'd like to see you. The fans want to see you there. And I, by the way, real quick, Carl, New Year's resolution.
There's nobody who wants to see my fat little face there. But thank you.
That's not true. You bring a lot of luck.
People love you. They love the segment. You helped us be number one. Thanks again for your help. The photo of you with your head inside the rim, I'd like to see that back as your avatar on Twitter, please.
I don't think I've tweeted in 5 years. Nothing good can come from me on Twitter. Right. Nothing
See,
good.
Fine. You have learned, like so many of us. You're absolutely right. Steve, have a great weekend.
Don't
we'll
read comments. Don't post anything. All right. Life is good.
Life is good. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to it. Take care, guys.
All right. There he is. Hawks at New York. The thing he said about Tony Ressler, and I brought up the fact that there are rumors and reports out there about Tony Ressler, our owner, loves Trae Young. And therefore, people are saying he won't trade him. Steve Koonin says he does enjoy the players, but he does not make personnel decisions.
Yeah, Ansi Salah is a guy that we have a lot of confidence in. I think he's impressive as heck. Certainly more impressive than the last guy that held the position. But what are you going to do to get this team right, Carl? Because nobody anticipated these offseason moves, and I get it. We're less than half of the way through the season, to Steve's point. But you don't look like a team that can make a run right now.
Not at all. All right, coming up. How you finish matters, doesn't it? That's what Raheem Morris is saying. What does the outcome of Sunday have to do with anything besides the game itself? We'll explain.